It's easier to turn that on than ourselves. That's the problem. Yeah. Okay, we're on page Gimel of this Maimon from Rav Motl. We just thought of the Midah of Shmir Sabris. It's a Midah, Hanefesh. Those who are just trying to be strong in that physical Shmira, the physical Shmira of not Chalila being in violation of any rules. I'll say in a second. Of not being in violation of any rules. So that's noble, that's admirable, that's gewaldig. But without understanding what's the midah of Shmir Sabris, that it's a midah HaNefesh, and what that is, and how HaKadosh Baruch Hu equipped us to deal with this challenge of Shmir Sabris, it becomes very, very hard to be consistent. There could be good days, good weeks, sometimes good months. If a person's a Gibor, Mamish, a Gibor, it could go a good couple of months. But what we're trying to learn here is to realize that there's... To try to develop a certain way of thinking, a whole different way of thinking about Kedusha. That's really what I'm hacking away at all of these months, to think in a way of Kedusha, that we should try to grow in a way of thinking. I forgot to thank the sponsors for Chaburus Yosef HaTzadik, Menachem Levis, the Schus of the Kedusha of Shimon and Yehuda and Shmuel, they should go to be Heilig Yidin and have a lot of Nachas. And Baruch Hashem, there's one of the Chaver from the Shul. I don't know if I have Rishus yet to mention the name, so I'm not going to mention it this week. The next time that is taking on a very, very big sponsorship for, I think his ideas, he wants to, for the next 5 years, some sort of a sponsorship in a very big way. Because he feels, as I do, and some of you might feel, that this is something that we really have to continue with and work on a lot. So I appreciate all their shtadlus. I appreciate, you have no idea how much I appreciate what people are doing to make it possible for us to continue with the shul and the shiurim and so on. So let's learn. On page Gimel. Now you remember we were talking about the Tu Psachim, we were talking about Emuna, but our subject now is not Emuna, our subject is Shmir Sabris. And Shmir Sabris is the second Pesach, that's why we learned months ago that b'damayachayi, the meaning of dam Pesach and dam Mila, Emuna and Bris Mila, are the two psachim, the two yesodas of all of Yiddishkeit, and that's why we learn that dafka those two mitzvahs are not given in the lashon of mitzvah; they're sort of presented as the reality of life. Emuna, anoch Hashem lakacha, Bris and Sefer Breishis. We spoke about that last week. They're not presented in the usual way as things on the list that have to get done, but a very short list that is identifying who you are. Emunah and Bris is the identity of a Jew. It's not things for us to do. Tefillin and Sitzis and Shabbos and Yontif, those are things to do. We've got a lot of things to do. But all those things that we do, and learning and davening, all of that stuff that we do, if the two that are at the top of the list, which is Emunah and Kedusha, if you're living with those, then all the other stuff is a mechai. Then putting on tefillin, it's a mechai. Shabbos, everything is a mechai. But if Emunah is dim, if Emunah is weak, and if in Kedusha you're falling apart, there's kind of Shabbos, kind of davening, everybody knows that. Everybody knows that. To have to be raya for that. Then the davening is kind of davening. And even shaking the lulav is, you could do without, you know. And Chanukah, it's nice the first night, and so. And it's a different life. If those two psachim are not strong, then means you're not in, because the two psachim are psachim. Psachim means they're openings. And otherwise you're outside. And an outsider that keeps mitzvahs is not so gishmak. Now, there's such a thing that a person can be an outsider for 80, 90 years. That's just how it is. You're an outsider. You're an outsider, and it's not gishmak. The same way that if you're at a simcha, and you realize this happened to me, I went, Bitzal Cohen and I went to, we were going to, in Eretz Yisrael years ago, to Kalev Rebbe was making a chasna, and there's a street in B'nai Brak where they have, the whole street is just wedding halls. And and I wasn't sure. I thought it was on the invitation, but we couldn't find the invitation, so we went to that place. I didn't know there were all these different wedding places. So it wasn't the right chasana. And Batal and I were there for like a half hour, 40 minutes. It was one like, no, we thought there'd be more chasidim here. I mean, it's a Rebbe Shechasana, you know, like, there weren't so many Shreimelech, and where's the Rebbe? And so Batal said to me, Rebbe, I think maybe it's not the chasana. I was still holding out, like, no, the Rebbe is coming, chasidim are late, and they're going to come, the Shreimelech are coming. And Batal said, no, I don't think so, I think this is the wrong chasana. And it was the wrong chasana. We went like to another floor or something, and then we saw the Rebbe, we saw the chassidim and the family and everything. It's very bad when you're at somebody else's simcha and you're not where you're supposed to be. I mean, it's all Jews have simchas, it's always nice, but like I got to get to the right simcha. To be a tzigi kimen or an outsider or not to really belong is a terrible thing. And when we watch the davening in our lives and we see that going on with our children, that our children are davening not as insiders but as outsiders, it's not what we want. We want them to keep Yiddishkeit as insiders. Now, we're learning that Shmiras HaBris, that's this way of thinking, Emunah and Shmiras HaBris, is those are the two psachim, those are the two doors to become an insider, Emunah and Kedusha. And then once you're an insider, again, that being an insider doesn't mean that you never have, that there's never a problem with Emunah, that you never have a suffix in Emunah, just like it doesn't mean that you never slip up with Bris, but you're still an insider. That's the chiddush that we're talking about. The Ramatul is explaining it over and over and over again to understand this. That the etzim a Jew is a shayma habris, and etzim a Jew is a mamin. And to live in that reality and to understand that reality makes you an insider. That doesn't mean you never make mistakes. We might all make mistakes, but you're an insider. And when an insider makes a mistake, he doesn't run for the hills. He's an insider. The same way that if you have a fight with some guy that you just met a little bit, you have a fight with that person, you know him, you know, you're whatever, you're friends a little bit. So if you have a misunderstanding or it doesn't work out between the two of you, Zygazon, you know, you don't have to see him again. But if you have a fight with your sister or something, you better work it out. If you have a fight with your mother or your father, you got to work it out. Because you're inside. And it's a very sad thing when people think that even with a family, you could be outside. That's terrible. This is your family, and you want to be. You're an insider. That's your boss of Adam, and you have to work it out. Sometimes it can't be worked out. Nachon. That's why the marshal goes only so far. But there's a difference between how a person's Yiddishkeit is the Yiddishkeit of an insider, where if something is not going well, I'm going to try to work at it and work it out. And even if it's not going well, that doesn't mean I don't go to shul today. It doesn't mean that I don't put on tefillin today. As opposed to a person when it's not working yet, it doesn't put on film. Doesn't put on film, doesn't go to shul. You see this all the time, disappearing people. Like this, just gone all the time. Not just kids, adults. Gone. They're outsiders. An insider doesn't disappear. An insider works it out. You work at it, you try to make it happen. You show up. You're not going to go to your sister's chasna because you had an argument. What's the matter with you? If it's a guy that you had a fight with, you don't have to go to the chasana. But if your sister's making a chasana, you're not going to go to the chasana? No, we had an argument. So therefore you can't go to the chasana? You had an argument? You can fight at the chasana too. You never saw a fight under the chuppah? I once saw two mechutanim hitting each other under the chuppah. Mom is hitting each other under the chuppah. They started punching each other under the chuppah. Yeah. I was not Masada Kedushin. I was an aide. And it happened in front of my eyes, right under the chuppah. They started, and everybody started pulling them off each other. Because this guy is a Lubavitch, and the guy is a Ger. And the Lubavitch guy started, he was told not to read a letter from the Rebbe. And he went up anyway, and he started reading a letter from the Rebbe. And the guy pulled the letter out of his hand. You can't do that to Lubavitch, you understand? That was the end. Lubavitch gave him a left hook right in the eye. And the Chosnokal is standing there, like, please, please, daddy, tati. It's what happened. Never pull a letter from the Lubavitch Rebbe away from the Lubavitch under the chuppah. That was a lesson. Yeah, he shouldn't have read it. They agreed not to, but like you know, whatever. So, a brother and sister could argue about the chasna also. But you come to the chasna, you fight. Okay, but it's a chasna. But it's in the family, and you work it out. If a person's not in a place of emunah and is not working on the sugya of emunah and on the sugya of kedusha, He's an outsider. He's mechutz. He's mechutz. He's outside. Even though he talks about all these things and he loves and he learns and he does all this stuff, but that's when it's going well. And if things don't go well, then you see Nishkan Torah, and he's not learning anymore, and he's not so strong with his mitzvahs anymore, and he can move muktzah a little bit. You understand? It's not the way that he used to be. When Emunah and Kedusha are not working, then it's no longer an issue of something that I'm not doing, it's who I'm not being. Emunah and Kedusha are being, not doing. Everything else is doing. Emunah and Kedusha is being. And that's why every one of us has to have a strong, strong identity of being Shomer HaRis and being Maminim. And that's what Ramatul is explaining. And in the beginning, he's giving some simonim, just explaining that we began with this last week. Let's just go from the beginning of the paragraph again and do it quickly. We're in the page Gimel, in the middle where it says Me'ata. We started it, we're in the middle of that paragraph. Just very fast. Now he's not talking about the essence of the Mida itself that we're going to finish. It's a few more pages, and then there's two other mamar after that to fill in. But what are the simonim? That's what we were talking about last week. You're an insider when you're an ish neshama. Anshei neshama are insiders, because a mamin and a shema habris is an ish neshama. Of course, every Jew has a neshama, but to be at least somewhat in touch with that. Now, how do you know if you're in touch with that? So he continues. An ish neshama is a person who can't throw himself into this world without any regret, remorse, or disgust. A person who could throw himself into gashmis and to taivas. It doesn't bother him at all. Doesn't lose any sleep over it. Doesn't cry a little bit every now and then, especially by Yom Kippur. So that person is mamish outside. Because ish yisrael ein lo yicholus be'etzem lespar legarme kol kula mehano gashmis ad sheyagish kehano zu mishtayaches el inyan shelay. An ish neshama, a yid. A mom and a shomer habris can't get so crazy. I mean, last week I was talking about the Super Bowl, making jokes, but can't get so crazy about this world ad kedei kach that he feels that this is my inyan in life. This is why I exist. This is the point of my life. Even when it comes to work, and even if you're working and you're making millions of dollars and you work 18 hours a day. But you know, there's a famous story from the Alter Rebbe from the Baal Tanya, which I've told over the years, that the Alter Rebbe had a chassid that was very wealthy. He was in the lumber business. And he didn't see that the Alter Rebbe was standing behind him. And this businessman was sitting, and he was writing up a cheshbon of the month. He was working on his books. And the Rebbe was taking a walk there. There was some kind of said it was outside someplace, like a garden, and the man was sitting, and he didn't see the Rebbe. And the man was writing a thing with the numbers from the days and the weeks, whatever, of the month. And then he came to the bottom, and next to he wrote Samachay, which is what? Sahakol, right? That was the sum total. So when he wrote Samachay, then he sat up straight, and the Alter Rebbe said that he looked, and he closed his eyes, and a tear came out, this businessman. And he wrote underneath, Ein od milvado. That's what he wrote. The Tanya you say over about this chassid that he had. Ein od milvado. And what the Alter Rebbe said was that, this, I don't remember the chassid's name, whatever, Rabarel, that Rabarel was a business person, was day and night, was with the trees, with the lumber. But if you ask him, Rabarel, what's the sahakol of who you are? What's the sahakol of your life? It was Ein od milvado. That's the sahakol of his life. You get another person that's sitting and davening and learning, and they ask him, what's the sahakol? He says, he wants to be in the lumber business, right? Sahakol? I'm not making any money. Sahakol. So that's the question of, what's your sahakol? So what Ramatul is explaining is that an ish neshama, whenever it comes to the sahakol, to that part of the paper that says sum total, sahakol, it has to be Eino Levada. It's the sach hakol of my life is not what I'm making and doing. That's not the sach hakol of my life. And each neshama can't do that. He can't feel that. He can't be that way. And each neshama is the kind of a person that when you're at a meeting and you're very much a part of the meeting, you might even be leading the meeting and running the meeting, and you hear people hacking back and forth with numbers and this and this and that. And at some point in that conversation, I'm sure you're all going to be able to relate to this. At some point in that conversation, all the hacking over the business and work, and there's this thing that goes off inside of your head that says, this is sick. This is sick. I don't want to spend my life doing this. Like, what is this? What am I doing? This thing, what am I doing? That little thing. And then you get back to being in the meeting. But there's that little thing. And that little thing is a very, 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 very special thing, because it says, underneath it says, sometimes you can't read the writing, it says, Ish Neshama. And you can't fake that. Because if you don't feel it, it's just not there. It is, it isn't. But if it's there, it says on it, Ish Neshama. That this is a mom. This is a person that's a mom. This person that's a Shoyma Habris. He's a Shoyma Habris. Why? Because in the deepest part of himself, he can't buy into this. That this is the tachlis of my life. I do this. I have to do it, and whatever. And I'm going to help a million people and give them the money, and they're going to support the whole city, whatever. But inside, there's something that's not whole with that. And that's what he's explaining. And it's important to understand this, because you and I can identify this in ourselves. We can see this in ourselves. Our children are not old enough to understand. The little ones certainly can't understand this. And even when they're 18, 19, 20, they can't understand this exactly. It's only when you're a little bit older and you're in all the stuff with the wife and the kids and work and you're going crazy and everything. It's very hard when you're young to understand this. But this is what it means. In the core of who he is, it doesn't speak to him. This is not who I am. It's what I do, but it's not who I am. An ish neshama when he's if he's to have a family, and he's with his family, and he's lighting a Chanukah candle, or he's singing his the Shabbos table, then he feels his anig besanugim. Then he looks at that and he says, "This is who I am. This is bad. Some who I am. I only do this 1% of the week. 1% of my week is spent in these things of learning, whatever, and davening or zmiras. 1%." Okay, but that's my talent. That's who I am. Boris al kedusha semitzah, kedusha Shabbos, kedusha Sator, kedusha Beis Hamikdash. Rak bin yoni kedusha magish yisheshok yizeh on yoni shalom. That when it comes to inyonim of kedusha, then the person feels this is my inyon. And you have that even by a person that's totally not religious. Get a guy that is totally not religious, and then that same chabatka comes over, puts tefillin on him. And it feels like this is my inyan. And for that moment, something happens. That there's that feeling, which is what the Rebbe had in mind when he sent out the chassidim to do that. That to open up that Pesach of this is my inyan. This is really who I am. Not that I don't have fun doing the other stuff, the taivas, all that. That's fun. But it's aloha inyan shali. It's a very big difference. It's a very big difference. By somebody who's not in Ish Neshama, it's not just that it's fun. It's that's who he is. I remember that my father, Zolgazon Zayn, he was very disappointed when I was a little kid. When I was like 7, 8 years old, I started to put pictures of ball players on my wall. My father said, What do you have all these guys on your wall? And I said, no, this is not Stama guy. This Mickey Mantle, this is kind of, these are like heroic people, great heroic people. Well, I said, that's dumb. This is, if you like baseball and you like to watch it and you like to play baseball, it's okay. But if you want to put a picture on the wall, so he says, put a picture of a tzaddik on the wall. Don't put a picture of one of these guys. These are not people that you want to be like. If you admire that they're good athletes, okay, so well, but to put on the wall, my father said, and then my sister room, she was putting up pictures like of the Beatles and stuff. And then my father just took them down. That wasn't the shot. I wasn't even shy to stay there. But what do you have this on your wall? That's already then you're identifying with something. To identify means that you're in danger of losing your identity. Because that's not your identity. That's the difference of enjoying something and identifying with it. Enjoying something is to identify with it. That's your identity. You know. One of the things that I've found over the years with alcoholics is that they very rarely like to say they're alcoholics. You know that? You have this conversation with an alcoholic? They say stuff like, oh, I just like an occasional drink. But like if you ask the wife says, like, occasional is a lot. And, you know, like by Shalom Zocher a little bit, or by Kiddush Friday night, or Kiddush Shabbos morning, a little bit like Ramlav Malka, a little bit, you know. There's a tikkun in shul during the week, you know, just a little bit. It's a tzaddik's yard site. And the wife says, my husband's an alcoholic. That's what he is. They don't like to do that, the guy. The guy doesn't want to say he's an alcoholic. He doesn't want to cross over that boundary to say that I have a new identity. He doesn't want to do that. Because he's an Ish Nesham. And of course that hurts him to say that. That's who I am. No, I just like to drink occasionally. Same thing when it comes to other types. No, I'm not a Baal Taiva. I'm not a Baal Lashon Hara. I just dabble in Lashon Hara. I just dabble in Taivas. I'm not a Baal Taiva. A Baal Taiva really means like, whoa. It means that's who I am. Who knows to say I'm a Baal Taiva? It's the worst thing if your Rebbe says you're a Baal Taiva, or someone says you're a Baal Taiva. I have Taivas, but I'm not a Baal Taiva. It's very different. It might just seem like a word here or there, but it's a huge difference between being someone that's a Baal Taiva and someone that's not a Taiva. But it makes a huge difference. She says that Rak binyani kedusha margish yishis ok yezeu inyona shalom chi elohim dvarim shem hem yesh lotanik vein zedav azar mimenu. Ein zedav azar mimenu. Isn't it true that when you go back to Yerushalayim that you feel that this is my place? Even though you're hardly ever there. But when you come up the hill and you go up there and you come in there and you start to see already, you're going already, and you're coming past already by Har Menuchos, and you're going and you start to go in, and then you feel, you know, Givat Shaul, you feel already, oh, this is, you're hardly ever there, but you're in Ish Yerushalayim, even though you're never there, you're very rarely there, but you still feel that you're in Ish Yerushalayim. But if a Jew feels like Yerushalayim is a strange place to me, I'm an Ish, you know, Woodmere or an Ish Brooklyn or something, so then Chalila, you're an outsider. An Ish Yerushalayim always feels at home when he comes to Yerushalayim. That's my home, Ish Yerushalayim. And if you're not an Ish Yerushalayim, you're an outsider, even though you spend time in Yerushalayim and you go there for Shalosh Golem and you have a lifetime subscription to the Citadel, David Citadel, whatever it is, you're still an outsider. You're not an insider. And another person that goes once every 8 years because he can't afford it, but his whole Metzius is Yerushalayim, he's a Yerushalmi. He's an Ish Yerushalayim. Ve'ein zeh dovah zar mimenu. It's not something which is strange to him. It's not something which is outside of him. Ela zo chelik mimahusa shalom. Chelik mimahusa shalom. You feel it. This is my mahus. This is my essence. Va'avur kein hu nivra. And this is why I was created. A Jew doesn't feel, none of us feel that I was created to fress. Or I was created for a certain taiva. I wasn't created for that. I like it. I'm, you know, whatever. I'm a little bit, you know, too much into that stuff. But I wasn't created for such a thing. That's not the tachlis of my existence. If when it comes to tanugim gashmiim, even though he enjoys them, but he always feels that there's something which is outside, and that's why afterwards he doesn't feel so good. Even though he has pleasure, he always feels that something outside of himself that he just got like sort of connected to, he got messed up with a little bit. But it's not the etzim, the etzim of who I am. Lom lo zehu inyano shelo be'etzim. So inyan ha'midah b'nefesh ha'shmiras ha'bris. This is the inyan b'nefesh that's called shmiras ha'bris. Now that doesn't mean that this person is by any means a tzaddik. Be far from it. But what Ramatul wants us to understand is that I find that inside of yourself. Help your kids find that inside of themselves. they're talking about these things so that they're able to make a chiluk between who I am be'etzem, how do I identify myself, even though I'm doing things that I'm not proud of or that I shouldn't be doing, but who am I be'etzem? This is the most important thing, is the thing that the kids need, to be able to grow into that that reality of who they are. So that even if they make mistakes, they slip up, and even if chalila is bad, but they know that that's not who they are, and therefore they want to come back, and be, you know, they want to be back in Yerushalayim, they want to be back at the home base, and they know that they're not, they know that that this is not who they really are. If they start to identify themselves, God forbid, with their tayvus, then they look at themselves as being michutz, outside of Yiddishkeit, which is what we see many of the boys. They feel no shaychus to Yiddishkeit, no shaychus to Yiddishkeit, nothing. Even though they're doing all this stuff, they don't feel as shy because they feel like outsiders, because they're convinced that because of the things that they have, that they've been doing, when they're by themselves, they're convinced that because of that, they are balei taiva. They're not shomer habris. And the male, I'm not really a mammon because I'm not a shomer habris, and so on. So then if you're a person that's your outside, then you're outside. Then what do you, then you're, and the Rebbe standing over them and says that Davin had a whole thing with the Rebbe this week, that he was complaining that this kid is not davening. I asked him, how do you know he's not davening? He said, I watch his lips all the time, he's not davening. So I said to him, how do you know he's not moving his lips? So he said, I was watching him. So I said, are you davening? So he said, of course I'm davening. So I said, how are you watching his lips if you're davening? So he got upset with me. So he's like a young Rebbe, like a 30-year-old Rebbe. So why don't you stop watching everybody's lips when they're davening? Maybe he's davening without his lips moving. He said, you're not yoytze. I said, I'm not talking about that with your yoytze. This guy's not worried about being yoytze right now. But maybe he's thinking about God while you're thinking about people's lips. I don't know what he's thinking about. We stop watching this. Why don't you stop watching their lips? Whether they're moving their lips. He said, I noticed he's not moving his lips. What a tfisa he has. He's able to see that a 14-year-old boy is not moving his lips. It's like, well, the kayak there. He's able to notice that. He's not moving his lips. I don't know. Yeah, but how are you davening if you're not moving your lips? Oh, he's davening inside of his head. It's possible for a person to be moving his lips and not to be davening at all, no? Could be. What do you mean could be? A person cannot be moving his lips and not daven? He's moving his lips. He's saying words. He's a misasik ba'alam. He's a kaif mamish. Somebody said kaif is misasik ba'alam. It's nothing like Reb Chaim Tversky speaks about in that famous Rambam when he talks over the two kavanas by tefillah. So he's not bechlal lefnei Hashem. So I don't know, it could be that kid is lefnei Hashem and you're watching everybody's lips. If you want to go down someplace earlier and then come to school and just spend your time watching people's lips, and you want to, you know, get paid for watching lips, okay, that's you could put on your resume, what do you do for a living? I watch lips. But that's not a way to live. But but do you know who the kid is? Do you know who you are? If the boy does not see himself as being inside, so then the biggest problem is not whether his lips are moving or they're not moving. It's a much bigger problem than that. He feels like a ice, like stone. And he's not happy about it. But he convinced himself that he's not a Shomer HaBris. When you have this Midah B'Nefesh of Shomer HaBris, Then you could see it in a very, very practical way. Pulu lemaisa. V'mashi ish Yisrael enu meniach atzmoi, shi yimoshech achar inin haba, legashamay Yisrael laharido el olam hazeh. An ish neshama, a shem habris, is a person who has limits. He will not, he can't allow himself to be dragged to a certain place where he feels that he's cutting himself off from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where it's clear to him that he has no... that he's cutting himself off. He can't allow himself to get lost in such a place. And Bechlal, he says, an Ish Yisrael, an Ish Neshama, even when he is involved with Dvarim Gashmiim, with this world and with Taivis, it's with a certain Krivas HaNefesh. Like I was talking about before, the guy at work. He does everything he has to do at work, but there's a certain Krivas HaNefesh. You know, that he could joke about it. A kriyas nefesh means a little bit to take from a malik and from tumah and bring it into kedusha. Asher karcha means that you don't get all heated up about things of this world. There's a kriyas nefesh. It's a certain cold, distant. In other words, that this world to a Jew should be something, and all of the taivas are something which are outside of him. I mean, there's something that's outside, that you relate to it in a colder, more distant way. Not that you don't enjoy it, but it's not you, it's distant from you. Kikafo shed, like the expression of the Gemara, that like you were forced by a shade. She'ein ze en yonishalo. Like when a person was carrying on and screaming and doing all kinds of crazy stuff, and then afterwards he's shaking his head and he's telling, you know, his wife, that wasn't me, I don't happen to me. You know, kafa'ani shade. There's some kind of a demon that took over my life, a shade. And he's sibrachim because he doesn't mean to yell at her and he just has a bad temper and whatever. He doesn't mean to yell at his wife. He loves his wife and he feels like that wasn't me. That's what the Yetzer is called. Lo yicha b'cha elzar. Chazal say, don't have within you a foreign god. The Yetzer is a foreign god. It's something that's foreign to you. You mean you're yelling all the time, you have a bad temper, but you feel bad about it. And you're not a balgaiva. You could say to your wife, I'm so sorry that I yelled at you. I'm not happy that I did that. You could tell your kid, I apologize for being angry at you. You're just a kid. I feel bad. I shouldn't have yelled at you. I shouldn't have gotten so upset with you. You're just a kid. And it wasn't right of me to get angry with you. You feel bad about it. But when you're in that place, then you know that that inyan is zar. It's michutz. It's not you. But if you're the kind of a person that says, I have every right to yell at you, oh, yeah. And you deserve, that's bad. Yeah, a person has to feel that anger is something which is zar. Zar. Something which is foreign. Lo yeh b'cha el zar. You shouldn't have within you a foreign god. That there are gods that a person has, but you should at least feel that they're foreign. It's not you. It's foreign. That's why I told you many times, but Nosson Breslov, he says such an unbelievable, deep thing by Esther Amalka. It says that when she went with Achashverosh, afterwards she had to stay married to Achashverosh. She didn't go herself to live with Achashverosh. Because after that, everything finishes with Purim, which is a great story. But Lemaisa, Esther Amalka lived together with Achashverosh. Like for her, it wasn't such a great ending. All of us, it's fantastic. There's Hermitage and there's Purim, everybody's off. But for Esther Amalka, it was a pretty bad ending. Because she ended up having to live with Achashverosh and to have kids with him. So it was pretty bad. So Chazal say that she never actually was together with him. Whenever she had to be with him, she would send in a shade. Like some kind of a look-alike, whatever, a robot, whatever it is, some kind of a shade. So if you don't understand that Chazal in a deep way, so you could say, yeah, I also saw, I only sent my shade, and I never went myself. So I always send my shade, you know. So Rav Nosson explains, what does that mean, that she sent her shade? You're going to send the shade. She went herself, you didn't go to shade. It means that for her entire life that she had to live with Achashverosh, because whatever the cheshbon was, I'm not going into it right now, but forever, she had to live with Achashverosh. She never identified herself as Achashverosh-dik. She never saw herself as Achashverosh's wife. She never felt that that's who she was. I mean, she sent a shallow part of herself to have to do that, but she never ever was herself engaged in it. She never was engaged in it. It was never her. She always felt it was a zar, that there's a strange part of me and has to be like that, but not that that's who I am. That's the simon of Shema HaBris, that feeling of zarus, something that's strange to me. I mean, you do it all the time. I understand I do it all the time. Over Chol Zos, it's strange to me. It's something that I'm not happy about. I'm not proud about it. It's something I don't want. So then if you're not happy, you're not proud, then why do you do it all the time? Why are you yelling like that all the time? You're always getting upset. I don't know. I don't want to. I need help. Help me. I don't know what to do. I'm not happy about it. Then a ready person is something. Now we're talking. It's already a different parish. It's a whole different person. That doesn't mean you should go on the rest of his life always saying, I'm sorry, it's not me. I'm sorry, it's not me. But at least the person's in a place where he knows that it's not him. And from there, he could build himself into something else. So what he's saying is, this is an ish neshama. B'chlal, hine ish yisrael nigash l'chol dover gashim tach kriyus ha-nefesh k'hafal u'sheit, shein zein yonah shelo, ela shein lo breira, v'muchach l'asa, it's like Esther Malka. What am I going to do? right now I can't hold, I have to do this, I can't hold back, I don't know what to do, help. But at least he goes into it feeling a kriras, a coldness. That's the inyan and kedush that we could take from Purim. That's why, from Amalek, that's why Purim is the warmest yontif. Purim is the biggest simcha, because Purim is the v'nahafechu of Asher Korcha B'derach. Purim is the v'nahafechu of Amalek. So if you want to get a sense of what Amalek does to us, Purim is the opposite of that. Purim is what makes us alive. Purim is what makes us feel that Yiddishkeit is all who I am. And you can give a person the whole year is mamish in the worst place, but on Purim he makes l'chaim and he starts to be who he really is. He's a Yid. That, from there you can see what Amalek is in Tumah. The whole inyan of Amalek is to take away from you that feeling of who you are. And what Purim does, which is the counter, the anti-Amalek, what Purim does is that it brings you back to life and says that, I want to tell you who you really are. The whole year I don't behave, I'm not in that place. But the guy's drinking, he starts to cry about his Yiddish guy. That's the Nitzachon of Asher Yishlatu Ayehudim Heima B'Sarneim. That's what it means to Asher Karcha. And then you could begin to look at things of the world that you're always so crazy about with a kriyas, with a coldness, like a Amalek looks at God. With a coldness, with a kriyas. Ela she'en lo brevo, u'muchach lasa zay, sama yasev ha'guf ha'ov, nene midov ezev. And it's not so bad that when you're having, you're eating this something and you're taking your edu and you're already eating too much and it's the wrong food, at least if a person stops a little bit and gives a krechs and has a little bit of a thought of enod milvado, of what am I doing with my life, what am I sitting here eating like this, that's also a shmiras habris. It's an inyan of shmiras habris. Because you have a bris with your neshama, you have a bris with the Bari Olam, with the Creator. And since you have that bris, you can't lose yourself in a piece of kugel. You can't lose yourself in a piece of kugel. You can like a piece of kugel, you can enjoy a piece of kugel, but you don't lose yourself in it. Unmuhukh shal atzmai, hinaniga shal maise zebekrius. For ish yisrael, enu masuga lasas masam elu b'shait nefesh. An ish yisrael, an ish emuna, can't do things dvarim gashmiyim with complete abandonment. Shait nefesh means complete abandonment. Just like to throw yourself in it. Liftarach has called chushav to give over all of your senses. Lehenes midvarim elu b'mloi peh kilo hayezayis in yana shalom. As if it was your thing. You can't do that. V'im nimtza ish yisrael hanena b'mloi piv min yana meilu. And if you see a Jew that is completely in things of this world like that, hine ein ze ela kepurim shpil. It's just a show. You don't know what he's thinking about. You don't know, you know. It's a purim shpil, mamish a purim shpil. Yet the guy looks like the biggest mushkas, the biggest manuvel, the biggest rasha. It's a purim shpil. That's the olive base of the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh. That when you see a Jew that's not doing something that's right, it's a purim shpil. That doesn't mean that he's not doing it, it's a purim shpil. And the guy's telling you, I swear that this is all I want in my life, and you can laugh like you're sitting at a purim shpil. I tell you, I'm the CEO of Atheists Anonymous, whatever, and I'm the biggest atheist in the world, a purim shpil. No, it's a purim shpil. Yeah, well, I'm married to somebody that's not Jewish, and I have children that are not Jewish, and I send them to not Jewish school, and everything, and I don't have a Jewish thing in my house, and I eat tarifas, eat nevelas. Purim, Purim, Purim. It's the aleph of the Baal Shem Tov. So you think you're deluding yourself? You know, he's deluding himself, and that whole thing's a Purim spiel. There are people that are actors, and they take themselves very seriously. But it's a Purim spiel. Mamish. When you see your kid acting, God forbid, in a way that's not good, and doing things that are not, it's a purim shpil. It doesn't mean you should ignore it. It doesn't mean it's not important to be metapel, whatever, in the right way, in a healthy way. But don't get so crazy like that. It's a purim shpil. Mamish. There's all going to be mitbarer. Hashem's going to be mavar. All of these things are going to be complete birurim. We weren't brought into the world to live this way and to live chalila away from Him. In the end, everything's going to be fixed. Your kid's carrying on like this is a mamish, a purim shpil. The whole thing is a purim shpil. Veins on a ve'emat smiyusa. Veins on a ve'emat smiyusa. It's not coming from the essence of who he is, me'at smiyusa. And therefore, in the mamakim of who he is, and there are different levels of mamakim. The Tanya writes, Shem Malas in his parish, Shem Malas in mamakim, in the Kudei Torah, that there are 10 mamakim. There are 10 levels of oimik in a Jew. 10 mamakim. The oimik of this person, but oimik nafsha, chen yagish gam hu, atzvus gedoyla. Mamish, he feels an atzvus gedoyla. In the oimik, he feels an atzvus gedoyla. Now, he might not be in touch with that part of himself, so he just is like in bad moods and he carries on, whatever. He's not acting in a way that simply means. It comes out in different ways. But achen yagish gam hu atzus gadoy lo marashchara amuka. And there's a deep, deep marashchara. V'yeyush gadol, he feels he's a terrible yeyush from what am I doing with my life? That he fell into such taivas. And deep inside of himself, he feels like he's a person that fell into a deep pit. And as much as he tries to convince himself that he's enjoying it, and this is what I really want, and I'm happy, and don't tell me that I'm not happy, I really like this way of life, I want to live this way. Doesn't work. And we don't see that. We don't necessarily see that. Sometimes you can, but it doesn't work. Because the pleasures that he's having contradict the mahus of who he is. And whenever what you're doing is in contradiction to who you are, you can't be in a place of shleimus. Simcha comes from shleimus, from a feeling of shleimus. And if you're living a life that is not shalem, then you can't be besimcha. You can have all different explanations why you're not besimcha. But if you're not in a place of shlemus, then you can't be besimcha. Period. It's not possible to be besimcha. Because simcha, the Maharal explains in many, many places, in the Gra and others, simcha is shlemus. When you feel something is whole, something is complete. And if you're living a life that is not your life, that you can't be'etzem identify with, you cannot be besimcha, you could just be acting in a Purim spiel, but you can't be besimcha. And you have to sometimes, a lot of times, you have to look at yourself, is this me, or am I just an actor in a Purim spiel? Is my life a Purim spiel? And especially if you're feeling down and you're feeling depressed, you're feeling chalila, these things, the sadness, you have to look at yourself and ask yourself, no, am I in a Purim spiel? Because there cannot be simcha when you're not b'shleimus. I mean, not a place of shleimus doesn't mean that you're perfect. No, there's nobody that's perfect. Even Moshe Rabbeinu is t'v'chasvei ha'mat me'elokim, nobody's perfect. But a feeling that I'm in the parasha of shleimus, I'm on the team, I'm in the winning team. I'm in a place of shleimus. I'm working towards shleimus. That's my life, is shleimus. Then you could feel simcha. But if you're not in that place, then you can't be. If you're not in the parasha of shleimus, you're not working towards shleimus, and you're doing things that are anti shleimus, that undermine shleimus. So then it's not possible to be besimcha. You could just make believe that you're besimcha. But some people could do that for a week, some for a month, some people go for 80 years, but you can't be'etzem, you can't be, when you go into yourself, you can't be'etzem be besimcha, can't be besimcha. That's why I was explaining yesterday what the Sfasem says, only mishen nichnas adam, Rabbi said, was only mishen nichnas adam. When adam is able to get into you, then it could be besimcha. What is adam mean to get into you? It means that Achashverosh is not really Achashverosh, it's really HaMelech, it's Hashem, and Esther is really Hadassah, and Mordechai is really Ish Yehudi. So what's going on in the whole story of Purim? The answer is what? It's a Purim spiel. What is this? It looked like there's no God. The whole story of Purim, there's no God. Is there a bigger Purim spiel than that? Megillas Esther is the biggest Purim spiel there ever was. But that's Hashem's name. It's talking about Persians and this and Jews, and Haman's going to kill all the Jews. And so the whole thing's a Purim spiel. There's nothing is the way that it looks. It looks like there's no Ribbono Shel'Olam. The whole Megillas Esther, there's no Ribbono Shel'Olam. And the whole thing is the biggest Purim spiel. So you have to ask yourself, is my life a Purim spiel? In other words, am I living the Mashal of Megillas Esther, or am I living the Nimshal? Am I living the true story, which is Ein of Mavado, or am I living the Purim spiel, which is, there's Achashverosh in my life, that's my boss. There's Esther, there's that cute girl in the office, you know. There's all the players you have in Purim, you could have in your Purim spiel. It's one big Purim spiel. Like we spoke about by the election, the White House is not a big Purim spiel. It's a big Purim. The whole thing's a Purim spiel. But it's not just with Donald Trump and Ivanka and Jared and the whole chevra. You think you have to go to Washington to see a Purim spiel? You take a look at ourselves. It's a mamashal Purim spiel. It's a Purim spiel. When Mashiach comes, the spiel is finished. The whole play, the whole show is over. And we're going to be very, very, it's going to be very, very different. A big and a half of chutzpah than what we thought. It's a big Purim spiel, the whole thing. And the only way you know that is with what Ramatel's saying. When you're Shomer HaBris, you have that thing inside of you that says, Purim spiel, Tavshin Ayin Tes, Purim spiel. And who are you really? Ish Yehudi HaYibshush Nabir. You're at the meeting, and everybody's screaming and yelling, more money, and they're pulling at each other's phones and checkbooks and credit cards, and inside of your head, the thing, and you're also one of them, you're also grabbing. But inside there's a thing that says, Ish Yehudi HaYibshush Nabir, what's the matter with me? This is crazy. And then you go back to pulling. You're saying, but Ish Yehudi HaYibshush Nabir, I'm an Ish Yehudi, I'm not some guy, prime minister, whatever. Ish Yehudi HaYibshush Nabir. Esther is hanging out her whole life with Goyim. Who's Esther Malka? Hadassi, Esther. Nista. That's the whole thing is a Purim spiel. That's why Purim is the highest yontif, because everybody's putting on costumes, everybody's wearing outfits and costumes. So that because on Purim the Baruch Hu wants you to realize that your whole life is a costume, your whole life is an outfit, and find the Ish Yehudi underneath that. You think that the only costume is the one that you bought for Purim, and the way you go the rest of the year is not a costume? That's not a costume. It's a much more expensive and dangerous costume than the one you bought for Purim. The one you come to go with Shalach Manis with the kids. That's nothing. Who could have the most creative costume this year on Purim? The most creative costumes are the ones that we wear before Purim and after Purim. On Purim, it's not so creative. Even though you have some good ideas, the most creative costumes are the ones before Purim and after Purim. And those are the ones that Baruch Hu is saying, you better remember that you're an Ish Yehudi. Remember that you're an Ish Yehudi. You're a Yid. What it means to be a Yid is enough of the Purim spiel. To be a Shomer HaBris means to be able to stop everything and to remember that. Okay, Mitzvah Shem, I'll be hopefully in Yerushalayim next Sunday. I'm not going to be here, so we'll continue when I come back. Thank you.